Good day, friends. You're listening to Coffee Chat on WKXL 1450 AM and WKXL1450.com, your hometown radio, celebrating Concord and the Capital Region. I'm Doris Ballard. We're going to have a really interesting morning here this morning because we have with us Joseph B. Carringer. He is a didgeridoo sound therapist. He is the vice president of the Northeast New England Seacoast Holistic Health Association, or NESHA.
NESHA.
Yes. Welcome, Joseph. We're going to learn all about what you do. I can't wait.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Now, you live in Portsmouth, so you came all the way from Portsmouth.
Yes,
here
drove up this morning.
Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, no problem.
This morning.
Thank you for having me here.
All right. So, I didn't even really know what a didgeridoo was until I found out about you. And so, before we talk to our listeners about what it is, and we're going to hear you play a didgeridoo, and actually, you call it a didge.
Yes.
So, we'll call
it
a
didge. Yeah, it's easier for people to say didge, yeah.
You're a didge sound therapist,
yes.
And you're involved in, obviously, in holistic health. But I'm interested in knowing how you got to this point in your life. Tell us about your background and what brought you to the didgeridoo.
The didgeridoo for me was kind of just one of those really weird things that just happened. In 1996, I woke up from a dream, sat straight up, and looked at the woman I was dating at the time, and I said, I'm going to play the didgeridoo. And I didn't really know what it was. She looked at me kind of perplexed, and I knew that I'd heard it in actually Crocodile Dundee, and I thought it was what he had been spinning on the string and was the bull roar. So kind of just mental noted and forgot about it. And then about 6 months later, I was living in Merrimack, and I drove to Portsmouth with a group of friends and spent the day out there and went to a store, and there was a basket of didgeridoos, and it said didgeridoo over the basket, and that's how I knew they were a basket of didgeridoos, and picked one up and blew into it and made a sound, and the woman looked from around the corner and she said, do you play the didgeridoo? And I said, no. And she said, yes, you do. I said, yes, I do. And actually, that didge is one of the didges that's sitting next to me today. And I ended up buying that didge and began playing.
So it started with a dream.
Yeah, it did.
Do you remember what the dream was?
No, it was really one of those moments where I woke myself up, sat up, and said, I'm going to play the didgeridoo. And there was nothing before it. It was just the words that I woke
did
up to.
Did you surprise
those
yourself? When
yeah,
you said?
Actually, I was a little surprised, kind of perplexed. And then when I picked up the didge and could just play, I never forgot the dream. And it's always kind of made sense, especially as I started to learn more about the instrument. It's Aboriginal Australian. It's a piece of eucalyptus wood, tree trunk or tree branch that's been naturally hollowed out by termites. And it's the oldest musical instrument known to man. It's estimated to be between 40 and 80,000 years old. It's included in one of their Dreamtime stories of creation and is a really deep spiritual instrument, not only for their oral tradition and passing down their history, but also in traditional songs and dance. And it's one of the beliefs is that it was a gift from the spirit world to the physical world to hold the vibration between the two planes of existence while the spirit world was singing the physical world into creation. So it has a lot of deep spiritual significance mm-hmm. to it, to the tribes. And so it doesn't surprise me that and they say that didgeridoo players are chosen. They're not. You don't decide to become one. So given all of those variables that I've learned over the years, the dream makes a lot of sense. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What were you doing at the time for a living?
At that point, I was the bar manager of a blues bar in Merrimack. So I got the didge and started playing. I had a sax teacher that had taught me the theory of circular breathing when I was 14, and I could never do it on a saxophone. And circular breathing is it's breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth. And when you need to breathe in again to continue the note, you use your cheeks as a bellows and push the air out with your cheek muscles. And I put it together within a very short period of time. It was like a week and a half on the didge. And many of your Concord listeners may know Rich Garzina from the Rich Garzina Quartet. He used to play at our bar pretty regularly. And Rich was in one day, and we were talking at the bar, and got on the subject of the didgeridoo, and I let him know that I had one. And he asked, well, can you circular breathe? And I said, yeah, of course. And I thought it just made sense. You know, it didn't strike me as being a difficult thing to do because I put it together so quickly. And he's like, well, go get it. So I went and I grabbed it because I lived across the street, and I brought it back and started playing. And he looked at me and he said, all right, well, I've got this song, Refried Zen, and I want you to play the intro and the outro to it. And so I started playing out immediately with jazz and blues, because once I played with Rich, then John Paul and the Appleheads, Katie Bell, Sweet Roy Jones, all the guys who were coming into Stormy's and Merrimack would come in, and we'd talk, and they'd let me do coming in after the intermission or play with a song. And so I got very quickly into playing with traditional blues and jazz.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when you took up the didge, did you do research on it? How did it ended up? How did you end up getting into holistic health with and sound therapy?
When I actually went to school, college for 2 years in Hawaii, and then I transferred to Syracuse. And when I was at Syracuse, the focus of what I was gonna I was majoring in anthropology. The focus of what I was looking to do was to go into Aboriginal studies. And when I left Syracuse, I kind of continued that on my own. And so I always was just keeping up on Aboriginal culture. And interestingly enough, I never really spent a lot of time on the didge. I didn't, that wasn't the Dreamtime stories, the song lines. Those were all aspects of what I researched, but I hadn't come across that. So it was the continuation of that over the years
it was just a
natural progression,
right.
Yeah.
Now, when you studied Aborigine culture, did you do that after you took up the didge, or
before? No, that was before, yeah. That was college.
So it was almost serendipity. It was almost as
everything was meant to be, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the didgeridoo as an instrument to heal. How does that work?
I was pretty surprised when I found out about it. When we were talking earlier, I had mentioned to you that there was a point when I was doing some trades work, and was the foreman of a company, and one of the guys that came in, he and I were talking earlier, and he had found out that I had played the didge, because at that point I was playing in nightclubs doing live breath percussion with electronic music, which is kind of what I've moved into away from the jazz and blues musically. And he came into work one day and he said, hey, I saw that thing that you play in the nightclubs. And I'm okay. And he tells me he's watching a VH1 special. And I'm thinking he's going to tell me that there's some new rock band or new band that's got a didgeridoo player in it. And he's like, yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio hires a didgeridoo player to come to his house once a week and play the didgeridoo over him while he's laying on a shiatsu mat by his pool. And there's this whole special on celebrity spa and wellness techniques. And I looked at him and I thought he was absolutely nuts. And I said, get back to work. And I totally blew him off. And so the next day he came into work, and we're working again next to each other. And he started talking to me about it again. And at that point in my life, I was really, really putting out to the universe that I needed a career change. Mm-hmm. You know, the trades thing I had been doing was for a seed capital project that my wife and I had been working on for a few years. And so I ended up going home that night and researching it. And I Googled and Googled and Googled, and I was barely able to find a reference to the story that was on VH1. Found one doctor who had listed all the effects as side effects, and it was like, you know, side effects may be relief of migraine, side effect may be relief of insomnia, relief of muscle tension, relief of headache. And it was really funny because he was afraid to say effect. And then there was another place, didgeshop.com, which had a forum of didge players that were talking about the practice of doing sound therapy work with the didge. And it's key advice was to get out of the way. Don't let your ego think that you're doing anything special. It's that the instrument on a fundamental level is doing it. and to use your intuition. And so I, with that, those instructions, started grabbing all of my my friends that had. I had one friend who had been rear-ended in a car accident, so I started doing work on her to see if it helped. My wife was actually suffering from some lower back pain, had another friend who had a thyroid problem and insomnia, and started doing work with her. Then just assortments of people just to see that didn't have any issues, just to see what would happen. And started doing these, what were chair sessions or yoga mat sessions at the time. And from that, began to continue to research, develop a technique. And then when I was ready, put together a whole concept and business plan for a practice, and went to a meeting which of a group of holistic practitioners, which ended up becoming NESHA, the New England Seacoast Holistic Health Association, and doing what was their first presentation, group presentation. And was with a room of board-certified gynecologists, board-certified there were chiropractors, herbal pharmacists, and did this meditation demonstration to them, and everyone was blown away.
Really?
And they all kind of adopted me in, and over the last 3 years, I've received an amazing holistic apprenticeship from acupuncturists, chiropractors, massage therapists, and I've done collaborative work with them, and with them really began to discover the effects of the DIG, and have put together a website where now if someone wanted to do what I did, which was go online and say, okay, I can play the DIG and I want to see what's there, they can at least have a launching off point and a foundation to develop their own technique.
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Joseph Carringer. He's a didgeridoo sound therapist. He's also the vice president for the New England Seacoast Holistic Health Association. And he uses a didgeridoo sound therapy to help lift an individual's vibrations back to a less chaotic and natural rhythm. I want to hear all about that when we come back, Joseph. But when we come back, I want to hear you play some of your didgeridoos here. You brought four with you. So don't go away, listeners, because I'm really looking forward to hearing this. So I'm sure you will be too. And then we'll talk about how the vibrations can reach other, you know, the human body's vibrations and heal. And then we'll talk about meditation down the road and your workshop. So,
great.
All right, don't go away.
Healthcare. It's a confusing topic, especially lately. Everyone's got a plan, but who can make sense of it all? Universal healthcare, where everyone is covered and costs are controlled, is within our reach. With all these plans, there is one fundamental difference. Either everyone is covered or some are left behind. CBS News reports Obama's plan, according to independent experts, leaves as many as 15 million uninsured. The New York Times columnist Paul Krugman writes, Obama's plan would lead to higher premiums by rewarding the irresponsible who don't get covered. The column goes on to say that there is a, quote, uncomfortable sense among some health reformers that Mr. Obama just isn't that serious about achieving universal care. Call Senator Obama at 202-224-2854. Tell him we need universal care, not his plan that leaves 15 million behind.
Paid for by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. AskMe.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. AskMe is responsible for the content of this advertising.
At HR Clough and Kearsarge Heating Oils, they feel it's important that you know exactly what their technicians do and how customers react to the service they receive. Here's a letter from one of them.
Dear Donna, I awakened to a 47-degree home this morning. After hitting the reset button on my oil burner, the system failed to fire up. A call was placed to your emergency service, and a technician called me within 5 minutes. As amazing as that was, he was at my home within half an hour, and my heating system was back up and running. Darren Moody is the epitome of what customer service should be. Neither my husband or my daughter knew that we'd been without heat. By the time they awakened, Darren had already come and gone. It's very comforting to know that HR Clough is there when we need them. Sincerely, Jackie.
Their service does make a difference. HR Clough and Kearsarge Heating Oils. Call 746-3456 to set up an account and get on their schedule for a 25-point annual maintenance tune-up. You'll never know when you need them, but it's nice to know they're right there when you do. HR Clough and Kearsarge Heating Oils. 746-3456.
Do you like finding a good deal? Of course you do, because everyone likes a good deal. Introducing the all-new WKXL 1450 Marketplace, offering huge discounts on local products and services. Simply go to our website, WKXL1450.com, and click on the Marketplace icon. Payment by credit card or PayPal is secure and convenient. Bargains are waiting for you right now. It's the WKXL 1450 Marketplace, only at WKXL1450.com.
Hi, this is George Menudes of the Windmill Restaurant, located on 172 Loudoun Road. My family owns and operates one of the few remaining privately owned restaurants on the Heights. Serving the Concord area for 18 years, the Windmill offers family-style dining with great pricing and even better quality. My youngest brother, Michael, follows me and Guzmas in contributing to Brady Athletics. The Windmill, open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week, 363 days a year. Stop in or give us a call, 225-0600. Hope to see you there.
You were just listening to Joseph Carringer. He's a didgeridoo sound therapist. That was very, very soothing, I think. I don't know how to say it.
Thank you.
It was like, now I recognize the sound.
Right.
From, like I said, right.
You've heard of
yes,
usually you
yes.
hear them in either an Outback, a Qantas, or
right,
a Foster's
right.
commercial.
All right. So this brings us right to the didgeridoo as in sound therapy. How does it all work? What is the idea behind it? What's the concept?
So what we've been able to put together over the last last few years has been that three primary ways that the dig affects a person. The first one is through the production of ultrasound. It's producing harmonics between 0 and 1,000 hertz. And your 0 to 125 hertz range is actually the same sub-frequencies that you could use if you had take your stereo and put a candle next to a really low sub-frequency. It'll, next to the speaker, it'll blow the candle out. That ultrasound wave is also in medical practices, can be used for the relief of muscle tension, nodding. It can break up muscle scarring. It can, I mean, they use it for everything. Actually, an ultrasound can be used to stimulate bone growth in the case of fractures, breaks, and bone surgery. Primary difference between the ultrasound produced by a dig and the ultrasound produced by a machine is they can only go down to 2.2 hertz. The dig can potentially go down to zero. That's also a focused sound laser. The dig is, to describe the end to the listeners, it's a wide opening. It's nothing close to a laser. So it's a broad range of frequencies, and you're never hitting the same place twice, so you don't have the potential damaging side effects that a medical ultrasound machine can produce. But at the same time, I can't do the same amount of work in the same period of time. Their focused work is a lot faster and potentially more efficient than what takes me, you know, 10 to 30 minutes to produce a similar effect. They can do in like 2 to 5. So,
what type of successes have you seen in your in what you do with on people who come to you for help?
Well, that would actually lead me into the second way that the dig affects mm-hmm. a person, which is through the energetic. And I do work with people to help clear out their energetic body. And the dig's waveform shape is similar in shape to that of an ohm, which is the universal tone. And in various cultures, it's the universal sound. And when you break everything down in quantum physics to the smallest particulate matter, it's actually not a particle, but a waveform shape going in and out of phase in a similar frequency to that of an ohm. So you're taking and you're playing this universal tone, this energetic frequency through your energetic body and your physical body, and you're effectively using it as a power washer to clear out stagnation. And in that regard, I've seen people release emotional traumas, PTSD, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. I've done work with people with cancer. And then also just people that want to meditate and reestablish their creativity, reestablish their own inherent abilities, which that's the third way that the didge affects a person. And just to clarify, I don't consider myself a healer. I don't consider the didgeridoo a miraculous healing instrument. The third way in which the didge affects people with helping them get into deep meditative states, your delta and beta brainwave states, those brainwave states, we don't get into that often anymore because between cell phones, radios, mm-hmm. televisions, newspapers, we have so much driving, worrying about the kids. We have so much outside distraction that our normal downtime that we would use to go into subconscious activities, which if you think of breathing as a subconscious activity, which it is, healing is essentially a subconscious activity. But if you take and you look at a computer, and to make the comparison to, you know, take the fastest computer, if you install a whole bunch of software on it, open it all up at the same time, the computer slows down.
Right.
Well, if you take our human mind and you open up all these different things to multitask, well, there's going to be some things that usually fall by the wayside. And a lot of times it starts out with we start breathing shallow. We may not eat. We may not sleep. We may not do all these different things, which are where we would actually go into these natural healing moments. So the didge gives you a moment to stop and get back to a natural state of healing.
I see. Have you ever had a didgeridoo therapy done to you?
Yes. Actually, there's it was very excited to meet him. There's a young man in the Lakes region, and he is named Steve Bachman, and he looked me up a few years ago, and we collaborate every now and again, and he's done a session on me for some specific things when I've had some injuries, and it's a really amazing feeling to be on the other end, because when you play the didge, and it's a very meditative tool for me. I mean, since day one when I started playing, I would go down when I lived in Merrimack. I'd go down to a river, and I would sit on a little beach on the Sauhegan, and I would play for me and my dog and the river. And that was what I would do for hours and just play there. So using it for personal meditation, but to have the didge played on and or over and around you is a totally different feeling. You can feel the waves come through you.
You can actually feel them.
Yeah, you feel the ultrasound, you feel the energy. Yeah, it's really...
We're speaking with Joseph Carringer. He's a didgeridoo sound therapist, and he is also the VP of New England Seacoast Holistic Health Association. And when we come back, we're going to take a little break here in a bit. When we come back, we're going to be hearing what? We're going to take a couple minutes. It's really 6 minutes long, but
yeah,
we'll listen to a couple minutes.
When I was in Peru a few years ago, I recorded a meditation CD to capture the energy of Machu Picchu, Pisac, a couple different places that we went to. And the track that we're going to hear was recorded just off the summit of Huayna Picchu, and we'll hear a couple minutes of that.
I also want to ask you about that trip to Peru, and we'll talk more about meditation and then your workshops.
Great.
So we'll be right back, folks.
AP Update. I'm Rita Foley. The first primary in the nation will be next week in New Hampshire. And like most of the other presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton is already there, talking to voters in Nashua after coming in third in last night's Iowa caucuses.
New Hampshire voters are going to be weighing and assessing everything in the next 5 days. It's a short period of time, but it's enough time. Time for people to say, wait a minute.
Barack Obama won the Democratic contest last night in Iowa. John Edwards came in second. Among Republicans, Mike Huckabee won in Iowa. But AP analyst Alan Lichtman says ultimately, this Republican contest could be the nail biter.
I think we're going to have a three-person race for the Republican nomination between Huckabee, McCain, and Giuliani. And it could go right down to the wire. It may not be decided on Super Tuesday, February 5th.
Huckabee has hardly campaigned in New Hampshire. Polls show him running behind Romney and McCain. I'm Rita Foley.
Are you a senior or do you know a senior with some equity in their home? Hi, I'm Jennifer of Reverse Mortgage of New England, and I enjoy assisting New Hampshire seniors in exploring if a reverse mortgage is right for them. Reverse mortgages are federally established and insured and are a conservative way for seniors who have equity in their home to make their later years less stressful. I have worked with numerous seniors whose stories ranged from near foreclosure to just needing additional funds to maintain their current lifestyle. Reverses are not the only way to access your equity. The best way to figure out if a reverse is right for you is through education. Go to the website reverseanswers.com or call me at 396-6483. That's Jennifer at 396-6483 or www.reverseanswers.com. Reverse Mortgage of New England. Big enough to deliver, small enough to care.
Reverse Mortgage of New England, licensed by the New Hampshire Banking Department.
Good morning, everybody. Here's my latest weather forecast on the threes for Concord and the Capital Region, from Hopkinton to Pittsfield to Suncook. Partly sunny, not as cold today. Temps 25 to 30. Partly cloudy overnight. Temperatures in the teens and low 20s. And tomorrow, partly cloudy. It'll be in the 30s. Maybe some snow showers tomorrow night. And Sunday, a lot of clouds around. Temperatures will be close to 40. My forecast being brought to you by EW Sleeper. We're located in Concord and have been selling and servicing snowplow and ice control equipment for over 40 years. Come to EW Sleeper Company in Concord for all your Fisher snowplow and sand spreader parts and accessories. We have over 100 years experience in snowplow and ice control maintenance. Winter is here. Are you ready? Now is the time to stop by EW Sleeper. We love snow and invite you to come in today to check out our Fisher snowplows. They make winter a breeze. That's one forecast you can count on. For more information, give us a call, 225-6711, or check us out online at ewsleeper.com. I'm meteorologist Mark Rosenthal for WKXL 1450.
Tuning in and heard that, you're probably wondering what it is. And I'm going to let our guest tell you what it is. Joseph Carringer, he's a didgeridoo sound therapist. What are we listening to there?
That is a track that's titled Jenny's Song, which I recorded just off the summit of Huayna Picchu in Machu Picchu, Peru, from the CD that I recorded there. And that was an amazing, amazing moment. It was the last thing that I recorded when I was in Peru. And I had just come off the summit. It's just this amazing climb up from the base of the city, the area of Machu Picchu that has the, I don't like calling them ruins because they're not ruins. You could put roofs on them and they would move back in. They're amazing structures. But we climbed up to the summit of this mountain that stands behind Machu Picchu. And I had seen this priest house on the way up and wanted to record in it. And on the way down, I forgot, and we got about 200 steps or so below it, and this woman, Jenny, was with us, and she said, "Joseph, didn't you want to record in there?" And I looked up, and I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, do you want to go back up and record?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, we can go up and check it out." She goes, "No, if we go back up there, you're going to record. So I said, okay, I'm going to record. And so I climbed back up. I broke out my gear again. And it was just a magnificent view out of this stone structure. And there was a small group of us that actually, while I was playing, that went ahead and meditated. And I dedicated the song to her because without her, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Right. Okay. As I was listening to it, I was thinking, this is very soothing. You know, I could see myself sitting there relaxing and meditating because I have always wanted to meditate, and maybe a lot like our, maybe some of you listeners out there are like me. Maybe you're already meditating. Good. That's great. But I just am so busy and so distracted. And you're right. We're so distracted as a society. How do we stop? And you said, I think you nailed it when you said, I'm probably trying too hard.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm trying too hard. What do you suggest?
Meditation has been built up all around Western culture. We've been we've been built up. It's this destination that, you know, you look at the Zen Buddhist monks and the Himalayas, that, you know, from small children, you know, sitting in poses and meditating. It's not that complicated, especially for us. It can't be. We've all done it at its most basic form. I like to say that if you've ever daydreamed once in your life, you are a successful meditator. It's really that simple. Let your mind go blank and allow yourself to relax and breathe deeply and regularly. And the benefit of using, if you have one of those minds that's always going at a mile a minute and spinning and spinning and spinning, using a tool like a didgeridoo CD or even the sound of the ocean or whatever it may be, what that does is that gives you something to allow your mind to disconnect to, mm-hmm. and shut off the conscious thought.
Now, you have a great website. What is your website?
The website is www.didgetherapy.com, didgetherapy.com.
You give a lot of workshops. This is all you do now?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So tell us about some of the workshops that you give, which are listed on your website. The dates are, but we won't get into the dates. Let's just talk about what it is that you do in a workshop.
There's essentially four basic workshops. The first one is just a didgeridoo journey or meditation, and it's structured loosely on the traditional Native American drumming circle paradigm, which is there's 20 to 27 minutes of rhythmic playing, and then afterwards allow the group to just sit in stillness. And then when people come back, we share and process together. The next workshop that I do is we actually afterwards, we do the same thing, start out with the same journeying process. But then I do a short, focused individual session so people can feel what it's like to actually lay on the cot and have an individual session and connect with the dig that way. Then I do a chakra clearing meditation, which I have a didgeridoo that was engineered for me by a German didge maker that allows me to slide from one note to another. I can play from multiple keys, which normally a didgeridoo is a fixed key instrument. Mm-hmm. So
there's only one key.
Right. So this didge allows me to play. It's a wood and metal didge. And for those of you who are familiar with Ayurveda or traditional Chinese medicine, also gives you the subtle aspects of the wood and metal elements. But so we play in those different keys, open up the chakras. And then I do another workshop where I take and I've studied martial arts since I was 6 years old. And I combine the martial arts education that I was given with the self-study in Tai Chi that I did for many years. And then I've been studying Qigong with a Qigong master who's studied under Tam Tom and Kenneth Cohen. And connect people with their qi energy, which in traditional Chinese medicine, qi is your life force. You could call it universal energy, your soul, your spirit. Ayurveda, it's prana. And people, again, Western culture, we've kind of been disconnected from it. And it's not so complicated to find. And I realized that I could never take and teach you what I've learned in martial arts since I was six, but you've answered a phone probably as many times as I've ever done a form. So if you teach someone the Tai Chi of answering a phone, the movement, the slowing it down, the connecting with the energy, and then you move with that, and then you go into a basic Qigong, which Qigong literally means Gong is the cultivation, Qi is life force. So you're cultivating life force and moving it. I can connect you with that whole concept when we do basic Qigong forms. And then we do a journeying specifically to connect with Qi energy.
Tell us what entrainment is.
Entrainment is the process of taking a lower similar vibration and bringing it into a stronger similar vibration. It's a physics term, and you see it with waveforms. And the principle of energetic entrainment, sound therapy entrainment, is that we all have our own vibrational frequency, and illness in from a holistic approach is caused by a disconnect of the energetic body with the physical body, energetic stagnation, emotional stagnation in your meridians or chakras, dantians, whatever tradition, whatever holistic term you want to use for it. And through entraining with a stronger, healthier frequency, we can clear out that energetic body and thus removing the root causes of disease or illness.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said something earlier in the interview about how we heal ourselves. You're saying that you're not a healer.
Right.
Let's expand on that.
People, when we look at a doctor, we look at a pharmaceutical, and say, that's going to heal me. My easiest example that I like to give people is going for orthoscopic surgery, and you have your knee cut open, and they do all of this wonderful reconstruction of the knee, put it back together. And if you were to try to walk on that immediately, you're going to fall over, and you're going to damage the knee again, because it's only been given the potential to be better off than what it was, but it still has to heal. Mm. Healing comes from within. Healing is an energetic process, is a biological process that we do miraculously, constantly. And when we start looking to others or drugs or things as being implements of healing, we're disempowering our own nature. We're disempowering our own ability to do it.
Earlier on, before we started the show this morning, we were talking about how people perceive what you do. And after having met you, I feel that you're probably the best teacher of this.
Thank
I couldn't
you.
Think that the universe probably picked the best person. But you were talking about some of your friends earlier. What is it about you that you think people can relate to you better than as a messenger of this healing therapy, this sound therapy?
When I started out, I was the most skeptical person. I took a look at it from a very traditional Western mindset, left my spirituality out of it, and really worked on it as, okay, nuts and bolts scientific method. What does this do? What can I quantify this? Okay, so it'll muscular, this, that, and the other thing. I stayed away from the energetic. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was the acupuncturist that I do a lot of work with, Ed Hubble, who's also a shaman, practicing shaman, as we like to refer to him as. And he's an acupuncturist, board certified acupuncturist as well. And he really kind of pushed me into the energetic direction, and I wanted nothing to do with that at first. And then all of a sudden I realized that when you again look at it from a holistic approach, you're looking at the whole organism, you're looking at the whole being. So I went at it very, very guarded and wanting to make sure that I preserved the integrity of the instrument and myself, what I was doing. Since then I've done work at Barbara Bush Pediatrics Pavilion at Maine Medical Center. I've been in R1, which is their cardiac ward. I've also been in the Gibson Oncology Ward and done volunteer work there, and been asked to come and do volunteer work there. I've presented to the Board of Integrated Studies at Wentworth Douglas Hospital. I've presented multiple times at the University of New Hampshire, and have also been part of the CAM programs for University of Southern Maine as well as University of New England. And yeah, so it's been, and I really believe it's preserving and looking at it and going, okay, what can we say this does, and without, and just take it as that. What is it really, you know?
So you've really built a reputation in holistic medicine and other areas as a true professional.
Yes, I'm very blessed with that.
And did it help? Does it help you with other skeptics now when you approach them? Because you started out as a skeptic, so when you talk to others and they ask you what you do and you tell them and they look at you a little like, really, and there you can feel the skepticism. Did that help you?
Well, at its, yeah, it does.
Because you came from that place.
And at its most basic, the only thing that I allowed myself to really believe in the beginning was the concept of the sound massage. Mm-hmm. That's all it was to me. You know, where it's an ultrasound sound massage, and it grew from there. So even to the most skeptical person, that's not rocket scientist.
That's right.
And it's irrefutable. It is what it is. The production of ultrasound played over your body essentially gives you an ultrasound massage.
What gives you the greatest satisfaction in what you do now?
For the sound therapy aspect of it, seeing people reconnect with their healing and get better. One of the most amazing days that I had was when I went back to Barbara Bush Pediatrics at Maine Medical Center, and there had been a little girl that had a wonderful team of doctors that had worked on her, and but she was dealing with a lot of things, and I saw her right after one of her initial surgeries and felt like I was playing for her, and I was sitting right in front of her, and I saw her 2 weeks later when I went back. I didn't recognize her.
Really?
Yeah, she was pretty much paraplegic when I'd seen her, and then she was actually walking at that point and had gotten her strength back and the color and everything, and felt like part of a team. The doctors are amazing, amazing doctors, but at the same time, her energy and her spirit, and she heard that I was going to be back in the pavilion, and I was told that she said that she wanted to come see me. So that meant a lot to me. It's things like that, the volunteer work and the sound therapy aspect, really rewarding.
How are you received by the medical profession?
Really well, and I'm really happy about that. It's been very, again, in the medical community, nobody can deny the power of meditation and relaxation. And so when you get beyond the ultrasound aspect of it and you go into the other side, which is the meditation, that can do volumes for health benefits. And doctors and medical professionals will tell people all the time, relax, meditate, breathe. And so fundamentally, that's what I'm helping people do.
Right. And your CD is, tell us about how that works. If I was to have your CD to help me meditate, what should I expect?
Meditation 101. Find yourself a nice, comfortable, quiet place in your home, and when you put the CD on, go ahead and allow yourself to breathe. You know, don't allow any one thought to take over your mind. And you know, when thoughts come in, if it's something that's pressing, make a note and try to let it go. But you want to find stillness and emptiness in your mind. That's what you're creating. And
now, Joseph, you mentioned there was another person that does what you do. Are there many others?
No.
In the area?
And actually, in this area, I am really the only one. The young man that I do work with, he's traveling a lot and hasn't set up for a practice yet, though I keep giving him a prod because I want to see him do it, and I really want there to be more of us. But no, there's a couple on the West Coast. And just a really small handful of us right now.
Now, also, you're an artist.
Yes.
You're right. So you, in addition to playing the didgeridoo as a sound therapist, you also play it with groups,
yeah,
right, at nightclubs.
In 1999, I ended up beginning to play at nightclubs with DJs spinning dance music. And I do live breath percussion and add an organic percussive layer to what would normally be just digital music. and have three dance albums that will be coming out later this year.
No kidding. That's great. Right. How do people like that? I mean, it's so different.
It's a lot of fun. People really do like it. And the really rewarding part about that is when you're in a nightclub and you're standing with this big giant stick and you're blowing into it and someone walks up to you and they're trying to figure out what you're doing. And I'll start bobbing my head or bumping my hand up and down to the beat that I'm playing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they'll hear it and it'll be like light dawns on Marblehead and they get into it. And yeah, so it's very cool.
That's great. Well, we're speaking with Joseph Carringer. He's a didgeridoo specialist and sound therapist and musician and everything else. So he makes a big difference in people's lives with his gift. So we'll be right back.
Are you worried that you might outlive your money? How do you know for sure how much you'll need to last your lifetime? My name is Bill Myers, and I'm an investment advisor here in Concord. My wife and I live in town with our two children, and this is my 18th year in the financial arena. Again, the question, how much money will you need for retirement? Today, people are living longer than ever. Also, there are products that simply did not exist 15 years ago that combine growth with safety. Let Myers Financial show you how you can have guaranteed income for life and safety of principal with very competitive yields. My strategies are simple. It doesn't matter if you're just starting out or already in retirement. I use an age-based approach to ensure a safe balance for your assets. Give me a call at 225-6235. That's 225-6235. You've heard it said that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. Why not let the success of your financial journey start with one phone call?
William D. Myers is an investment advisor representative of Envision Investment Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Worried about winter and older members of your family? Granite Ledge's Assisted Living Community, a joint venture with Capital Region Healthcare, offers safety and peace of mind. Take a tour. See their bright, safe, cheerful living environment. Granite Ledge's, winner of the Step 1 Quality Award for Excellence from the American Healthcare Association. Granite Ledge's, on the Concord Hospital campus, 224-0777, 224-0777, or graniteledges.com.
How do I manage my health care when I'm not supposed to make personal calls during my workday? Dartmouth Hitchcock's Patient Online Service. I can log into my secure personal website 24/7 to communicate with my health care team, request or cancel appointments, make payments, renew medications, and more, all without having to call from work. Get connected with Patient Online. You and your boss will love it.
Patient Online from Dartmouth Hitchcock, available online anytime for established Dartmouth Hitchcock practice patients. Visit dartmouth-hitchcock.org to learn more.
The contest moves to New Hampshire. I'm Rita Foley. Barack Obama is in New Hampshire, hoping to win there as he did in Iowa last night. He's working toward what he hopes will be the Democratic nomination for the presidency. Within days, New Hampshire will hold the first primary in the nation.
4 days, you can do what the cynics said could not be done. What Iowa did last night and what America can do this year.
Mike Huckabee won the Republican contest last night in Iowa. Police say Britney Spears appeared to be under the influence of something, an unknown substance, when she was taken from her L.A. home in an ambulance last night. She reportedly was taken to the hospital after a three-hour dispute over the custody of her two young children. The striking writers' union has told Jay Leno he violated its rules when he did his monologue earlier this week. They say he wrote and delivered jokes. The union's not saying what, if anything, it plans to do about that. 30-year mortgages at the lowest rate in a month, 6.07%. I'm Rita Foley.
Welcome back to Coffee Chat. I'm Doris Ballard, and our guest this morning is Joseph Carringer. He's a didgeridoo sound therapist. I hope that many of you were able to hear him play the didgeridoo and talk to us about how it can be, what his CD is for sale, and it can help you. He's playing the didgeridoo in that, and it helps you with meditation. And also, it's a healing It helps you to heal yourself,
yes,
right? To heal
correct.
Yourself. It doesn't heal you.
Right.
It helps
you,
heal yourself, right?
Yes. Right.
So I understand that your wife, Nicole, your partner, is very helpful, and she's also part of what you do here.
She is my partner.
Yeah, in every sense of the word,
in
right?
In every sense of the word, yes. She runs the back end of the business, handles... And we work together. I mean, mm-hmm. it's amazing. And I feel very blessed and fortunate to have her in my world.
Well, again, the website is really a great website. And let's let our listeners know what that is.
It's www.digtherapy.com.
And what is the phone number?
603-433-7465.
433-7465. Okay.
Yes.
Now, where do you typically give your workshops?
All over, actually. I've had workshops in Concord, but I do everywhere from Portland, Maine, down to Pittsburgh, PA. I was booked for 3 weeks in Old San Juan, Puerto Rico. I had a booking to go to in the Canary Islands, which actually, funny story about that, I didn't quite make because of... a mess up with my digits being shipped from Heathrow.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
But I've also we've just recently done a holistic transformational retreat to Treasure Beach, Jamaica. So I mean, I travel.
You get to
all
do a lot of traveling.
I do.
Right?
I do. It's wonderful. The more travel, the better.
So that dream that you had, you woke up one night and said, "I'm going to be playing the didgeridoo." What did that mean to you now, years later?
It's an awakening point. I woke up, and I didn't necessarily realize how much I woke up until that guy that was working for me came into work one day, and I had been putting out to the universe I wanted mm-hmm. a change, and I got to start playing my didge.
Wow. Now, we only have 90 seconds left. Joseph, anything you want to share in final parting words with our listeners?
Take a break. It's the most important thing for your health, and your health and well-being is not a destination that you... should look at and say, I've got to get there. You are there. You are in your health and well-being right now. So if you stop to recognize that and you start living that and giving yourself moments every day, then you'll be there. And just breathe. Whether it's looking at a beautiful sunset over the mountains, which you can do here, or taking a walk in the woods, going and looking at the ocean, whatever it is, but You don't need a didgeridoo. You don't need mm-hmm. all these things. It's inside of you.
And it's healing.
And it's healing.
Right. Thank you so much, Joseph Carringer, for being
you.
On Coffee Chat.
I appreciate
and
it.
And keep up the great work you're doing. I love it.
Thank All you right. so much.
Thanks for tuning in, listeners. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.